We begin the current daf, Masech de Baba Basra, daf Kuf Tes. We begin 4 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we opened up this perek, discussing the halachas of Nachla, of inheritance, of Yerusha. And the Gemara had asked, why did we open up with a case of, when we spoke about the first of the four categories of Yesh Noichlin Umachilin, that are those who inherit and bequeath, we spoke about a father inheriting his son. Why wouldn't you first mention the one that's actually first in the Pasuk, and the one that would be more of a blessing, not a cursing, when a son inherits a father? So the Gemara answered, because that actually the halacha that a father inherits a son is not explicitly in the Torah. It's actually learned from a drasha. And since it's learned from a drasha, that's chavivale, it's more dear to the Tanna to say that which we learn from a drasha than explicit in the Torah, and therefore mentions the case of the father inheriting a son first. How do we know this? So the Gemara brought a brisa, and the brisa says that when it says in the Torah, she'eirai hakarave love, that the relative who's close to him from his family will inherit him, that's actually a reference to a father. Which that, the Braisa says, comes to teach you that a father comes before the brothers of the one who passed away. Now, you would think he would be even before the son. That's what the Pasuk teaches, Hakariv, the one who's close, Hakarvilov, which means to say the closest one, and the son, as the Gemara illustrated, is closer than anyone else, meaning the son of the one who passed away, whereas the father is then the second in the line. And then comes the brothers of the one who passed away. That's what the Braisa we had taught in the previous stuff. And that our Gemara continues and now asks on this Braisa. Ask the Gemara, Eimer She'era Zeha'av, why didn't you make the drasha of the Pesukim as follows? Yes, like you said, that the term She'era, his relative, is a reference to the father. Melamed Shra'av Koidim Labas, that should teach that the father comes before the granddaughter, meaning his son who passed away, if his son has a daughter, that the father comes before that person who died's daughter. Now the reason for that is because the whole reason why we said that the son of the one who passed away takes precedence to the father is because he has certain roles that he takes over from his father. So you see that he's more closer than the person who's died's father, where he does yiyud, and he takes over his first day achuza. Whereas by a daughter, she doesn't take over any roles like a son does, or like even the brother of a person who passed away does yibum. So therefore, what the Gemara is essentially asking is, as we had explained in the previous stuff, as our Gemara will ask the question on this stuff, that the order of the Pasuk is actually out of order. And therefore, the way we should read it, based on the Gemara's question, is Ishkiyamas, when the person passes away, Uven Enlin, he doesn't have a son, then you should read it with Nesatim Esnachlosi Lish'era, then you give his inheritance to his relative, which refers to his father. The Imein Lo Yisher, now if he doesn't have a relative, then it's V'nesatim Esnachlos L'Achim, then you give an inheritance to his brothers. And V'Imein Lo Yachim, then if he doesn't have a brothers, then you read V'Vartim Esnachlos L'Bitoy, then you give it to the one who passed away, his daughter. And then V'Imein Lo Bas, if he doesn't have a daughter, then V'nesatim Esnachlos L'Achayav, then you give it to the father's brothers. And V'Imein Lo Achalav, if there's no brothers to the father, then it's Akarv Elav M'Mishpach T'Biyarish, then whoever is the closest relative that you find inherits it. And then read over. So again, what the Gemara is asking is, don't read it as we said in the previous brisa. That when it says She'er Zera'av, it comes to teach that a father is before the brothers of the one who passed away. No, say that the father is before even the daughter of the one who passed away. And then continue reading as the brisa had said. Yochel Yachtin Laban, you would think even that the father would be before the son of the one who passed away. Tamalema Karv, that's what the Pasuk teaches when it says the closest relative. Karv, Karv, Kaiden, no, the closest relative takes precedence first. Where a son of the one who passed away is closer than the father of the one who passed away. But regarding a daughter, to the contrary, we say that a father is closer than his granddaughter, who's the daughter of the one who passed away, because she doesn't take over any of the roles like her son does. Now the Gemara answers, no. Kivin Dilin Yibum, since regards to the Aloch of Yibum, Ben Ubas Kya Dodi Ninu, a son or a daughter are the same thing. As the Pasuk says, Uven Einloi, the Torah says, if he doesn't have a son, which the Torah the Gemara darshins ayin olav, ayin loy with a yud tells you that you should analyze, which comes out if there's any child, there's no mitzvah of yibum for the widowed woman who has no children to go ahead and marry another man. If there's anyone, even the daughter, comes out that the daughter will exempt from the brothers from doing yibum. So therefore, it comes out that the daughter does have a role. And moreover, not only does it have a role, it's even stronger than the brother's role, because the brother's whole, meaning the brother of the one who passed away, because his whole role of Yibim is only if there is no son or daughter. Whereas the father of the one who passed away does not exempt his son's wife from Yibim. So it comes out that the daughter comes in place of her father more than the father of the one who passed away or from the brother of the one who passed away. So therefore, since we find that she has a stronger role, so therefore, regarding the laws of inheritance, we also find that the son and the daughter are the equal, which we said in the previous stuff, which is our karv kaidim. That's why we can't say that the father is before the daughter, the one who passed away. Rather, the son and the daughter, and then one would move on to the father, and then to the brother, the one who passed away. But the Gemara continues asking. So okay, fine. But ve'ema she'rizera'ah. But let's make it a different drasha. How do we know it specifically like the Bryce had said? Let's say when it says she'eroi, his relative, that's a reference to the father, the one who passed away. But malamed, that should come to teach us sha'av koydim la'achi ha'av. Only that the father of the one who passed away comes before the brothers of the father of the one who passed away. But he's not before the brothers of the one who passed away. Because actually we could say that the brothers to the one who died is closer than his father. Because they at least take over the role of the brother who passed away for the laws of Yibam, whereas the father of the one who passed away doesn't take over any role of his son who died. And therefore, based on this Gemara's question, the order of the Pesukim would be as follows. Nesatimus nachlosi la'achim, you give his inheritance to his brothers. Ve'imein lo'yachim, there's no brothers. Then nesatimus nachlosi la'sher. Then you would read those words of the Pasuk. Again, we're saying because the Pesukim, the words are out of order. Give over his inheritance to his relative, which is referenced as father. Then ve'imein lo'yachim, now if there is no relative, there's no share, meaning there's no father. Then you give it over to his father's brothers. And if there's no brothers to his father, then you give it you give it over to the closest relative. Now, then you would continue and say, then you would think that the father would be before the brothers of the one who passed away. That's what it teaches. No, the closest relative, more of his closest is closer. And the brothers of the one who passed away is closer than their father, because at least they take over something. The father doesn't. So how do we know that the Brisa wants to say that the son's before the father, but the father's before the brothers? Maybe we should say that the brothers are before the father. And when the Pasuk refers to She'er, it's saying that the father's before his own brothers, meaning the uncle of the one who passed away. And that says the Gemara, no. Achi ha'av le'tzich ikra. We don't need to write at the end of this parsha of Nachlis the word She'er, referring to the father, to say that the father comes before the father's own brothers. Because that's logical. Because obviously the father is before his own brothers to inherit his son. Because Achei Ha'av Mikoich Man Ka'asu, exactly from whose strength, from which pipeline, are the father's brothers coming to be able to inherit their nephew, their brother's son? Obviously it's Mikoich Ha'av. Obviously it's coming from that line, from that part of the genogram, that it's from their father, the one who passed away, which is their brother. That's their rights that they're coming to. So therefore, why would I need a pasuk if it already says that the father's brothers inherit their nephew? So could you say that koy av, that the father's still alive, kiyarti achi av, and that the father's brothers will go ahead and inherit it? Of course not. Because if he's alive, he's before them. So therefore, you cannot say that the term she'er was written to say that he's before his own brothers. Rather, it must be that it's saying that he's before the brothers of the one who passed away, meaning his own sons. That's what it's coming to tell us. Because regarding his own brothers, that we already know that if it says ve'imein lo'achem and the satam esnachlos la'achi of, if there's no brothers, then you give it to the father's brothers. That's like it's saying that if there's no brothers, then you give it to the father, and if there's no father, then you give it to the father's brothers. And therefore, it should not have said she'eroi. Rather, it must be saying she'eroi to include the father, to mechadish to say that it should be before one of those that I mentioned before. And who is that? It's referring to the brothers of the one who died, meaning his own sons, that were coming to tell you that the father is before his brothers. Because as we said, to say that he's before the father's own brothers, that there's no necessity. As we said, that would be pretty obvious. And moreover, you can't say that she'eroi is coming to say that he's before the son or the daughter of his son who passed away, that you can't say because they're closer to the one who died more than the brothers, as we said before. So therefore, that's why the Brisa says it's going on that he comes before the brothers of the one who passed away, to say that the father comes before his own sons to inherit his son. Because you would have thought to say that the brothers come before the father because they at least take the role of their deceased brother in the laws of Yibam, which you don't have by the father. That's where the Pasuk She'er comes to teach that no, the father comes before his own sons, the brothers are the one who passed away. So therefore the Gemara has resolved the interpretation of the Brisa. But what the Gemara does ask is, which was really the pink elephant all along in the Sugya, but Vokroi Lav Hochik Sivi, but what do I mean the Pesukim don't say this? Dechsev, it says in the pasuk, "Mamidbar v'im ein achim la'aviv." The pasuk says, "If there's no brothers to the father, begoyim etc." Where then the pasuk later on mentions she'erai, which is the reference to the father, after it already mentions in the chronology the father's brothers. And to the contrary, we should have said that it must be a heavenly edict that the father's brothers come before the father himself, because that's the order of the pasuk. And that answers the Gemara, which was where we were going along all along from the previous stuff, that Kroy Shalai Kisidrin Ksivi. Now, these psukim are not in order, and this that it mentions first the father's brothers and then the father himself, obviously it can't be that way. Obviously the father has to be first, as we said before, because the whole rights of the father's brothers are only coming through the father himself. And it must be that the Torah was not particular in that order that it was written. And it was relying on this that the pasuk says, HaKarev, which tells us whoever is Karev Kaidim, whoever is the closer relative, comes first in the law, in the line of inheritance. And from you yourself, you can then go ahead and organize it, as we've been discussing, that what is the appropriate order, who is first in the order based on their closeness in the relationship. Now, the Rashbam says, but if that's the case, since we're not going to go after the order of the pasuk, so why couldn't the pasuk just have left out all these examples and just written, Ish Kiyamas, when the man dies, V'nasatim is nachlosei l'karva l'mishpachtei. It should have just gone to that part of the pasuk. He says, and you give his inheritance to the one that's closest to him from his family. Why go through the son and the daughter and the father's brothers and so on and so forth? We know that because it's based on closeness of relationship. So says Rashbam, you could say that no, to the contrary, you need all those terms in the pasuk, not because of the order, but rather, like for example, as the Gemara says later on, and when it says, Uven ein loy, it's coming to teach drushes. Ein loy is ayin alav, vim ein loy bas is ayin alav. And so all these cases, they're coming to teach us and extrapolate different halachas from it, but not to teach us the order, because you're right, the order is based on a karav kaidim. Now, that was one approach, how we know that first comes the son and the daughter, and then comes the father, and then comes the brothers. That was from the previous brisa on the previous stuff, which taught from the term she'erai, which comes to teach that he's before his son's brothers, and his own sons, but Hakarv says that his grandchildren, the children of the one that passed away, are before him. Says the Gemara, "V'hai tana maisi lemahacha." But the Tana, the following brayso, learns out that the father is before the brothers. Learns it out from a different source. The Tana learned the brayso. As Zud Darish Rabbi Shmuel Bar Biyasi was this that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Biyasi expounded. Says in the pasuk in Mamidbar, "Ish kiyamas, the man who dies or ven ein lo, and he doesn't have any children." Begaimer and etc. Where the pasuk concludes, and this is Bamidbar Perich of Zayin Pasuk Ches, Vavartim es nachlos labita. Then you pass over his inheritance to his daughter. I mean, if there's no son, then it goes to the daughter. Now the word Vavarta sounds like that you're going to take something from this relative. I mean, you're going to be removing it from this relative who is alive to give it to this other one, which sounds like that you're going to remove it from the father to give it to the daughter. That's what the Brisa says. It's coming to teach you, because it was just saying that if there's no son, you give it to the daughter, then it wouldn't use the term vavart. Vavart means that you take it away. Who are you taking it away from? There is no son. Or you take it away from the father, and you give it to the daughter, meaning to his granddaughter. So that tells us, b'makom bas atem maver nachlam av. If there's a daughter alive of the one who died, then you take the inheritance away from the grandfather, meaning from the father, one that passed away. But v'i atem maver, but that's the inference, but you don't take it away. Nachlam av, the inheritance from the father, b'makom achim. When there are no son and daughter for the one who passed away and only brothers, then you're not going to remove it from the father. That's where this Tana learns out the halacha that the father comes before the brothers of the one who passed away. Now, on this drasha, asks the Gemara, but ve'ema, actually we should say that the term vavarta is not going on the father, but rather it's going on the brothers of the one who passed away. Why don't you say that vavarta is coming to tell you as follows? B'mokam bas, when there's a daughter, atem maver nachlo min ha'achin, then you take it away from the brothers of the one who passed away, which the inference would then be, if there is no daughter, then it's the brothers who inherit the one who passed away, and not necessarily the father, and therefore you're still back to the question, how do you know that the father comes before the brothers? Now, moreover, continues the Gemara Amud Beis, you could then darshan and say, and you don't remove the inheritance from the father, maybe even when there is a daughter. Now, as Rashbam points out, that this part of the Gemara's question is not necessarily as part of darshaning the pasuk as follows. Rather, what the Gemara is essentially asking is that from this pasuk, you really can't learn that anything, even to say that the daughter comes before the father, because as we're illustrating, this pasuk is not talking about the father. At least we could hypothesize that. We could say it's talking about the brothers. And if I could essentially tell you that maybe the father is even before the daughter, because maybe we could say that he's a closer relative than the daughter. Now, and if you're going to say, but we're making this inference, we're saying that no, it sounds like that, but you don't remove the inheritance from the father even when there's a daughter, that's not necessarily the case, because that's not an inference from Vavarta, because to the contrary, from Vavarta you could make the inference that you're only not going to take it away from you're going to take it away from the brother when there is a daughter. Now, but you could also say that you do remove the inheritance from the father when there is a daughter. So in other words, we have no proof to say this drasha that we want to say that it's talking about the father. It could be talking about by the brother. It could be saying that when there's a daughter, then you take away from the brother to give it to the daughter. But this doesn't tell us anything about the father. Maybe when there's a brother and there's a father, you actually give it to the brother and not to the father. Now, that the Gemara continues and says no. Because im kain, if that would be the case, that it would be coming to reveal to us when it says in the pasuk Vavarta, it's coming to tell us that the brother, you take it away from the brothers of the one that passed away when there's a daughter, which then infers and tells us that when there's no daughter, it actually goes to the brothers and not to the father. If that would be the case, then lo nichta rachman vavartem, then says the Gemara, then the Torah should not have written vavartem. Why? Because automatically I would have known from the fact that it says in the pasuk vim ein loy bas, is if there's no daughter, what does the next words in the pasuk say? V'nesatim es nachlos say lo'ach, and then you give his inheritance to his brothers. Now the reason for this is because this Tana, unlike as we explained in the previous daf, holds that, and we just clarified this just a few lines before, holds that the psukim are written in the appropriate order, because he does not make the exposition, as we said from the Tana of the previous Brisa, from the previous Daf, that the term She'eru comes to talk about the father, which we had to explain is that means to say that it's going to be out of order, the Pesukim, because how are you going to say fathers before brothers when the father is written after that? Now, so if this Tana holds that it's in order, so then you automatically know that the daughter is before the father, before the brothers, because that's what the order of the Pasuk says. Why would I need Vavartan to say that, oh, that you're going to take it away from the brothers, give it to the daughters? I know that. So rather, obviously, that's what the Gemara is answering, that it must be referring to the father. When the father's alive, then you're going to remove it from him and give it to the daughter, which tells us, but if there's no daughter, then you're not going to remove it from the father, because even though there's going to be brothers, you give it to the father before you do to the brothers. And therefore, that's the source for this Tana, who learns out the halacha that the father comes before the brothers. Again, that's either learned out from the Tana, the previous Tana, from She'eroi, which we said, okay, the psukim are out of order, but the father's before the brothers. Or it's learned out from the Tana of this Brisa, from the term Vavartem, that you only take away from the father when there's a daughter. When there's no daughter, even when there's brothers, you don't take it away from the father. Now, the Gemara now contrasts and asks on these two different Tanoim. So, Laman de Nafkelim Vavartem. So, from this last Tana that we just quoted, that learns out the source that a father comes before a brother for the inheritance of the one who passed away. From Vavartem, so, Hai She'eri my Abadlei. What does he use to learn out from the term of She'eri? The Tana, the first Brisa in the previous Daf, had taught out that She'eri refers to the father and that it's out of order and saying the father is before the brothers. Here he's learning it from Vavartem, so what do you do with She'eri? Says the Gemara, Miboyle, look at the Tanya. That Tana would say, this last Tana that you need it for, as it's taught in the following Brisa. She'eri, when it says in the Torah, his relative, that's actually referring to Zu Ishtai. It's actually referring to a person's wife. And we find this, like it says in the beginning of the Torah, Vayulav Asar Echad, that they become one flesh. So She'eri means to say his relative, a wife is considered an extension of the husband. So too it says in Shmais Chaf Aleph, She'eri Ksusa Vaynos Liigaris. We find the term She'eri is referring to a wife. So Malamed, what's this coming to teach? Shabal Yerush Asishtai, that a husband inherits his wife. Now how do you see that from the Pasuk? So as Rashbam explains, because this Tana that Brisa holds, that you do what's called Goyrin Umeisifin Vidarshan. You could take off some letters from a word and add it to another word, and then expound it. So rather, the way you would be reading the Pasuk, although it says in this Pasuk, the literal translation is, if there's no brothers to the father, and then you give the inheritance L'She'eri HaKarlov to the closest relative from his family, and then he inherits, and then he inherits it, and this will be for the Jewish people an eternal statute. So this is Bamidbar Chav Zayin Yud Aleph. The way this Tana, the Braisa darshans it, where this last Tana is going to use She'eri for that too, is that V'nesatimis nachlas She'eri loy. Although it says V'nesatimis nachlasi l'She'eri, but you take off the letters and you can read it, not nachlosai, but you give nachlas she'erai, you take that vav of him as in loy. You give the inheritance of his she'erai, which is referring to his wife, to him, and that's actually, as the Gemara actually explains this later on in the parak, and moreover, because when it says v'yarish oisa, it's not saying that he inherits it, meaning the inheritance, but rather he inherits her. Because Isa could also be read in Lashon Nekevah. That's what we learn now from a She'eri referring to the inheritance of a wife, but nothing to do with a father who he She'eri that he inherits before the brothers. Now the Gemara asks the other way now. Well, the man did not feel She'eri according to the Tana, the first bride who learns that the father from She'eri, Hai Vavartem my Avadle. What does he learn now from the term Vavartem? In other words, although the simple translation of the Pasuk is telling you that when there's no son, you give it to the daughter, but why does he use the terminology of Vavartem? According to the other Tana, it makes sense, because it's coming to say that someone's alive and you take it away from him, which is from the father to the daughter, but when there's no daughter, you give it to the father, not to the brother. But according to this Tana, who's not learning enough from Vartim, so it should have just written Venesatim, that you give it to the daughter. What do you learn enough from Vavartim? Says the Gemara, Mimbayle, look at the Tanya. He would need it to teach the following halacha, as is taught in the following Braisa. Rabbi Eimer, he says, Bekulon Nemem Behen Nesina. By all laws of inheritance, regarding all the relatives, it uses the term of giving. But Khan never behind Avar, but here by a daughter suddenly used the term of passing over, of removing. Why does it do that? Says Rabbi, you want to know what the term Vavartim is coming to say? The following halacha. She'en lecha shemaver nachle m'shevet l'shevet, you don't have any individual that removes inheritance from one tribe to another tribe, let's say from the tribe of Reuben to the tribe of Shimon, elabas, only through a daughter. Hayelu b'no b'ayla yoshin, I said, since the son and the husband of a woman, when she passes away, inherit her, that will cause inheritance of one tribe to go to another tribe. How so? For example, Sarah Bas Asher, the daughter of Asher, who was married to Chanoch, the son of Reuven, we're talking about the 12 Shvatim. And then Asher dies without any male sons, so then his daughter Sarah inherits him. Then Sarah dies, her son and her husband, who are from Shevet Reuven, inherit her. It comes out that the inheritance of the tribe of Asher was now removed and changed now into the tribe of Reuven. And that's what the Pasuk is coming to teach us, actually, that the husband or the son inherit the wife or the mother. Now, although there are those who darshan the inheritance of a son from his mother, from other psukim, but that's what Rebbe would be teaching in this price, so that he learns it out from this word of Vavartim, that comes to teach you how is it changing tribes, obviously because the son and the husband inherit the woman. But now the Gemara continues asking on the Tana from the first Braisa from the previous daf. He learns out the term of the father coming before the brothers from the word She'eri, and it's out of order, and really that should tell us that that's before the brothers of the one that passed away and after the son. Ask the Gemara, Mimayde She'eri Ze'av, and where do you know that the term She'eri, his relative, that inherits the one that passed away, refers to the father? Because the Chsev, it says, Pasuk in Yikra, She'eri Avichu, it's the She'eri of your father. You find that the father's relationship is considered She'eri. But Eimah She'eri Zuhu Eim, why don't you say that She'eri is referring to the mother, and actually from that you would be able to learn out that both the father and the mother inherit the son. Because the Chsev, like the next Pasuk after that says, She'eri Imchahi, you find the same term of She'eri by the mother. On that, Amar Rava says no, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says it within Bamidbar, Mim Mishpachtoi, from his family, which is explicitly telling you the relatives, the relationship that's only paternally. Because it says Mim Mishpachtoi, from his family, B'yarash Isa, and he inherits it. Which tells us Mishpachas Avkri Mishpacha, it's only the father's family that's called family. Mishpachas Emin Akri Mishpacha. The maternal family is not called family, and since the Torah, yes, it's Tomat She'eroi, Hakar V'lov, but and you can't, although She'eri in other places can mean mother, it cannot mean here mother, because it says Mimishpachta B'yarash Isa, and Mishpacha is only paternally. Because they're still, like it says the Pasuk in Bamidbar, it says L'mishpachaysam L'veysa V'ysam, to the families, to their paternal homes, which teaches us clearly that it's only the paternal relationship that's considered Mishpacha, and not maternal, and that's how we know that She'eri only refers to the father, and not to the mother. Now that the Gemara asks, is that really so? Mishpachas Eim Einikuri Mishpacha, what, the maternal family is not called family? And that's how you're excluding the mother from She'eri of inheriting her son? But Voksiv, there's a pasuk in Sefer Shoftim which talks about in the parasha when regarding the graven image, the Avodah Zarah of Micha. It says over there, Vayihinar, that there was a youth, Mi Beis Lechem Yehuda, from Beis Lechem Yehuda, is the name of a place, Mi Mishpachas Yehuda, from the family of Yehuda, Vuhu Levi, and he was a Levi, Vuhu Garsham, and he lived over there. Now, Hagufa Kasha, seems to be an internal contradiction in the pasuk. Amrit, you say, Behu Levi, that he was a Levi. Amam Levi Asisi, he came from the tribe of Levi. But yet the words say, Mimishpachas Yehuda. Amam Yehuda Asisi, obviously, he came from the tribe of Yehuda. Elalav rather says the Gemara in its question. So what would you necessarily say? Davua mi Levi must be that his father is from the tribe of Levi, and that's why you call him a Levi, because Levim, when they go according to their tribe, they're called Levim. A person is called a Levi. And this that it says Mimishpachas Yehuda was because V'imim Yehuda, because his mother was from the tribe of Yehuda. V'ka'amah Mimishpachas Yehuda, and we see that this person was called from the tribe of Yehuda. You see that even based on his maternal relationship, he's called from that Mishpacha. So you see that it could be Mimishpachtim, could be referring to the mother's family. And then Amar Rabbah Barav Chanan, and he says, no. This that it says V'hu Levi was Gavri Dushmei Levi. He was a person that his name was Levi. Not that he was from the tribe of Levi. Rather, he was from the tribe of Yehuda, as it says, Mimishpachas Yehuda, because the paternal family is what's called Mishpacha, but you don't see anything about the maternal family. Now, that thing must be Ihachim, but if that's the case, then his name just happened to be Levi, but it wasn't from the tribe of Levi. So then, Hainu to come a Micha, this is what Micha was bragging about when he said later on the Pasuk, it says in Psukim later, Ati Adati, oh, now I know Ki Yitiv Hashem Li, that Hashem is doing good to me. Ki Hoyili HaLevi L'Kayin, because I had a Levi that was serving as a priest in my temple. Would that be appropriate? What he's bragging about, that he had a man called Levi that was going to worship Favoy de Zara? And if you're saying he was from the tribe of Yehuda, so what was so great? What was he so proud of? Who cares that his name happened to be Levi? Rather, you have to say that obviously because he came from the tribe of Levi, who they were from the special chosen ones that Hashem picked to serve him, and that he was saying, ha, and look what I have. I have the Levium, who they're serving me, Tavai Dezara. So you have to say there must be that his father was from the tribe of Levi, and his mother was from the tribe of Yehuda. And then be back to the question. You see that even the maternal relationship is called Mishpacha. Nothing more says, no, in, yes. This Ramali Gabba Dishmei Levi. It happened to be a person that his name is Levi, and that he was proud of, as if he was from the tribe of Levi. But really, he was not a Levi, he was from the tribe of Yehuda. He just happened to have that name, and therefore he was saying, oh, look, I even have a Levi. But he wasn't from the tribe of Levi, he just happened, that was happened to be his name. Now, Nat Digmar still asks, what, V'chi Levi Shemaya, can you really say that his name was Levi? V'halo Yehoinesen Shemaya, his name was actually Yehoinesen. Shnem, like it says, Psukim later on, says, V'yohainasin ben Gershon ben Menashe, Yohainasin, the son of Gershon, the son of Menashe, who ubanav ha'yukahan b'shevet Adani. It was him and his sons that were that were the priests for the tribe of Dani. So obviously, that this that we called Levi was because he was from the tribe of Levi. Because as we see, that he was actually from, that because you can't say that was his name, because you see his name was Yohainasin. And so therefore he was from the tribe of Levi. And then this is in Mishpachas Yehuda, obviously is because you see that the maternal family could be called Mishpacha. So we're still back to the question. So maybe Shei refers to both the father and the mother. So Amalei, so he said to him, no. Well, Tamech, according to your reasoning, V'chi ben Menashehu, was Gershom, the father of this Yohainasin, was he the son of Menashe? Now, in the Torah, when it writes, in Tanakh, when it says Menashe, actually the Nun is hanging. And the reason for that is because actually that Nun is this extra letter, because V'haloi ben Meishu. Actually, he was not the son of Menashe, he was the son of Meisha. The Ksiv, like it says, the Pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph, says, B'nei Meisha, the sons of Meisha, the Meisha Rabbeinu, were Gershom Eliezer. Now, that's actually why the Nun is hanging, because it's not Menashe, you should like take out the Nun and read it Meisha. Moreover, when it calls him Levi, obviously that means to say that he was from the tribe of Levi. Now, that parasha over there is talking about when the tribe of Dani, when they stole this pestle, this graven image of Micha. And it says that the Levi went with them to be for them a kohen, to be for them a priest. So you see that this individual, you can't say his name was Levi. His name was Yohainasin. Moreover, it makes sense to say that it was from the tribe of Levi, because he was not a grandson of Menashe, he was rather a grandson of Moshe, who he is the Levi. So Ella rather says the Gemara, Mitoich Sha'asa Maisa Menashe. Rather, the idea is that since this individual, this Yohainasin, didn't act like Menashe, the son of Chizki, who was the king of Yehuda, who did Avodah Zarah, so Taloy HaKazim Menashe. So that's why the Torah makes it as if, it puts it in a way, as if he was a grandson of Menashe, but really he was a grandson of Maisha. So Hachanami, so therefore here also you could answer the question that the truth is he was from the tribe of Levi. Now, this that it says he was Mishpachas Yehuda, it wasn't because he came from Yehuda, because if it did, that means to say that it would be from his mother, because his father's Levi, his mother Yehuda, and then we'd be back to the question. No, it's not the case. Neither his father nor his mother were from the tribe of Yehuda. Rather, Mitoch Sha'asa Maisa Menashe, the Asa Yehuda, because he did like the act, the despicable act of Menashe regards to Avodah Zarah, who came from Shevet Yehuda, so Taloi Hakas of Yehuda, the Torah makes it as if he came from Mishpachas Yehuda, just like it makes believe as if he came from Menashe, but it has nothing to do with Mishpachas Yehuda, and therefore it is like we said. It's only the paternal family that's called Mishpacha, and that's how we know She'er refers to the father, because this is a Mishpachas Yehuda, he didn't really come from Mishpachas Yehuda, it's as if, just like as if he was the grandson of Menashe. Now, Amir B'Yechad Mishrim Ben Yoichi, he says, Mikan, he says, from here, from the fact that it calls him the grandson of Menashe and that he came from Mishpachas Yehuda, even though he didn't, Ishet Toilin Esal Kakala, from here we see that we make contingent something that's despicable, like in this parasha was talking about that he was a priest for idols, B'Makulkul, in the one that's despicable, meaning in regards to Menashe, the one who made the error. So although it wasn't really, but you can make it contingent on that. Rabbi Yisrael Chanina Mamahachi brings a different source for that concept, Mapaskim Lacham Aleph, where it says, Vegam hu toiv ter moed, he also was of beautiful form. Vaisu yolda achri Avshalom, and he was born after Avshalom. Now, it would sound like as if they were coming from the same mother, where Adoniyahu was after Avshalom. Now, the problem is, Vahaloy Adoniyah ben Chagis was the son of Chagis. Avshalom ben Machan, Avshalom was the son of a different mother. So what does it say, like, and she gave birth to him after Avshalom? What do you mean? It's not the same mother. Ela metech she'asa ma'is Avshalom, the Mar ben Machas, rather, since Adoniyah did the same thing like Avshalom, who rebelled against the monarchy, Tola harkas of Avshalom, so the term makes as if he's related, the same idea, with Tola kolkola b'makulkul, that as if he has a relation with Avshalom. So, Hachinami Mitech Sha'asa Maisa Menashe, also since he did the act of Menashe, Tloya Kazim Menashe, the Torah makes a contingent as if he's related to Menashe. Continuing related ideas regarding the Siyahinus and the grandson of Moshe, and this idea about being Taila, Kilkul, and Makulkul. So, Amr Belazi says, La'ilam Yidbak Adam Etayvim. A person should always cleave to good people. Shahari Moshe, Shemnasa Bas Yisra, because Moshe married the daughter of Yisra, who he had served all the idols in the world, Yatimen Yehinesin, he ended up having a grandson, Yehinesin, who, as we just saw, was a priest through Avodah Zarah. Aharon Shanasa Bas Aminadav, whereas Aaron, who married the daughter of Aminadav, who was a righteous person, Yatimen Pinchas had a grandson, Pinchas. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, O Pinchas lav me Yisroi Asi? What do you mean? You think Pinchas didn't come from Yisroi? Actually, as Rashbam explains, that it would seem like that Pinchas came from the daughter of Yisroi. So obviously we see that he was actually closer to Yisroi than Yehinesin, who was the son of Gershom, who was the son of Moshe, who had married someone who was the daughter of Yisroi. And even so, we see that Pinchas was a pious person. And therefore, you cannot learn from here that a person should cleave to good people, because Elazar, the father of Pinchas, married the daughter of Yisroi, and still he had a son, Pinchas. So even if his father, Aaron, had cleaved to good people, but his son Elazar did not, and you still see that he had good children, even though Moshe, who cleaved to the daughter of Yisroi, but it was only a grandchild that wasn't good. Because Vaksiv, it says in the Pasuk Shemais, which seemingly tells us that Pinchas comes from Yisroi, because it says, V'laza ben Aaron lokech lo'i b'mnois putia lo'i le'isha. Laza, the son of Aaron, took for himself from the daughters of Putia for himself a wife. My love, the Asim Yisroi, isn't that coming to say that he came from Yisroi, meaning that his father, Laza, literally married one of the daughters of Yisroi. Shepitim agolim lavei dezara. Why is he called Putiel Yisroi? Because he fattened calves to idols. As we know, Yisroi did avei dezara for all them until he came to Judaism, to Yiddishkeit. So how can you then clarify from this point that Pinchas, was a righteous because he came from Basim and Adav? What do you mean? We see that his father actually married the daughter of Yisroi. Says the Gemara, Loi da'asim yasef. No, when it says b'nei patiel, actually refers to that his father loves him married from the daughters of Yasef. Shepit pit b'yitzroi, who he went and he fought, and he was loichim against his evil inclination. And that's why he was a righteous person. On that, the Gemara says, but how can you say that? But we know that the tribes degraded and told Pinchas, as is brought in Masechta Sanhedrin, Perek Eloh, and HaNasrafin, that they were chiding him, that Re'isim ben Puti Zed, do you see this, the son of Puti, which refers to his grandfather, as we brought that his father Elazar married Bemlois Putiel, which is Ben Shepitim Avi'imaya Golm Labaydazara. Here's a son who his mother's father fattened calves to idol worship. As we know, it says in the Pasuk, Koyin Oin, he was a priest for idols. Yaharig Nasi Shevet Mi Yisrael, and he kills the prince of the tribe of Shimon, which was that famous story in the Torah. It talks about that he went and Mekane, he took revenge against Zimri. So you see clearly that the tribes were degrading him, that we see that he did come from the tribe of Yisrael. So how can you say that? No, it's referring to that he's a grandson of Yosef. So Ella, rather, as the Gemara continues, the top of Kof Yodam and Aleph, truth is that although he did come from he came from Yisrael, but his father did not literally marry the daughter of Yisrael, and from that union have Pinchas. Because as we said, that Pinchas is also a grandchild from Yosef, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that Putiel sounds like that there was two Pitputin. One is that he comes from Yosef, who is Pitput by Yitzhak, and it comes from Yisrael, who is Pitin by Golem. Now, so therefore, you can't say that his mother was literally the daughter of Yisrael, because what would the daughter of Yisrael then have with the tribe of Yosef? How could it be then that he comes from Yosef if his father married the daughter of Yisrael? Rather, it would be saying that Elazar took a woman who's Mibnais Patil, meaning that his wife was born from some type of intermarriage from the children of Yisrael and from Yosef. So from now you could say, okay, so Kobi Pinchas was a fourth or fifth generation to the daughter of Yisrael. And therefore, he wasn't so close to Yisrael as Yohanes and Ben Gershom, the son of Moshe, was to Yisrael. And that's why it helped that his grandfather Aaron had married good people. And that grandfather that Pinchas had from his maternal side, which was from the children of Yisrael, who had married into Yisrael, even so was able to have a grandchild Pinchas. And you can't ask, wait a second, then how could we prove this point from Moshe, who had Yohanesen? It's because Pinchas was further away a descendant than from Yisrael than Yohanesen was from Yisrael. Now, so therefore you have to say as follows. Either that the father of his mother, meaning who was the wife of Elazar, was from Yosef. And Ima de Ime Mi Yisrael, and the mother of his mother was from Yisrael. So for example, if let's say from the sons of Yisrael or from the grandsons of Yisrael. In other words, you cannot say that the mother of his mother was from Yisrael, which would sound like literally the daughter of Yisrael, because then again, that would be the same thing, the same type of relationship to Yisrael as Yohanesen was, and then we wouldn't be able to learn out anything from Moshe and Aaron. Rather, it's talking about that he's one generation further, or you could say the other way around, Avu de Ime mi Yisrael, his mother's father was from Yisrael, and Ime de Ime Yosef, and his mother's mother was from Yosef, which now Pinchas is one generation further from Yisrael than Yohanesen was from Yisrael. And that's why he was able to have Pinchas, but because the closer relationships he had were from people that cleaved to good people, whereas although he could also be from Yisrael, but he's further away. Whereas, so that's why we see this concept that one should cleave to good people, where Aaron, who cleaved to Basa Menadav, was able to have a grandchild, Pinchas, whereas although he comes from Yosef, Pinchas, and from Yisrael, but he's further away from Yisrael, whereas by Moshe, who married the daughter of Yisrael, had a grandchild who was a Kaimel Avay Dezar. That concludes the Gemara. Dekanami, it's precise reading that tells us this idea that yes, he was from Yisrael, but he was also from Yosef, and which clearly tells us that must have been future generations and not Bas Yisrael itself, because then where's the relationship to Yosef? Is Dechsiv Mimnais Patil, because the Pasuk says that it's from that his father Elazar married from the daughters of Patil, which Tartish Maman, which seems to tell us that there's two Pitputs here. From the fact that it doesn't say Putil without a Yud. So therefore, if it says Putil with a Yud, it's coming to say that there were two Pituyim, one that was Pitput and one that was Pitim, referring to both Yosef and Yisrael. Or from the fact that it says Mibinais, which sounds like from the two daughters, meaning from Pitput and Pitum, and because Rosh Hashanah just said that he married Bas Putil. From Benais tells us that there was two, which is again these two relationships that he's coming from these two different daughters, one from the daughter of Yisrael, one from the daughter of Yosef, and that's how there was later on they intermarried these families of Yisrael and Yosef, and from that a woman was married who came from those two different families, then married to Elazar, and then had this Pinchas, but again it's further away, and therefore we can still maintain this halacha that we're teaching, that one should always cleave to good people, then one will have righteous children, grandchildren. In contrast, when you cleave to someone like the daughter of Yisrael, who Yisrael ultimately did Avodah Zarah, could have a grandson, Yohanesen, who will be a priest to the idols.